to Three Dads on a Console. I am your bearded beauty, better host than Wabba Plays, Pezel56X, but you can call me Pez.
And I'm joined.
And I'm joined today by the debonair Court. Court, how you doing?
I'm good. Debonair, because you're going to say, oh, that makes way more sense. You actually, that's honestly, see, Wabba couldn't do stuff like that.
He can't. He can't do it. And as always, joined by our dapper friend, Dapper Tux. Dapper, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. It's always so much fun joining you guys, chatting games, life, everything else in between. So yeah, I'm super excited to be here. Chat some Spider-Man 2, which I'm psyched about.
Yeah, and we are.
He just came straight from the rink.
And looking exceptional, by the way. For those not on youtube.com/threedadsonaconsole, you are missing out. This man came from the rink, looks like $1 million.
He's wearing a salmon jacket, and it's an off salmon, which is even better. So it's not like the bright salmon.
It's closest I could kind of go for like this. I don't have a red jacket, so this is like for Spider-Man. So there you go. This is for Parker and Morales, just so they can kind of see me repping.
My PJs.
I mean, it's a strong look, and you're pulling it off, I'm going to say. Pulling it off.
Well, I did make a joke when I was at the Ubisoft thing, because I know you were invited as well, and you couldn't make it. And I was wearing a collared shirt, and I was like, oh, my God, I am the best dressed person in this room right now. And if Dapper was here, I would look like I'm a slob.
I'm sitting forward because just off camera here, I've got Penny, my 4-pound chihuahua. She's walking away. The family fun never stops. But lately I've been playing the role besides of, you know, game reviewer, tech reviewer, is a chauffeur as well as equipment manager for my son who's goaltending. So yeah, coming straight off the rink, talking hockey, talking video games, just, I don't know, like a good Canadian dad should, I suppose, especially on this podcast.
But Jesus, a goalie though, like that's like the most expensive. Like, oh my God, it's so expensive.
Well, yeah, this family, we don't learn. So I'm a goalie. My brother is also a goalie, and now my son is a goalie. So we go, like, there's a family tree of goaltenders here. So, yeah, unfortunately, there's enough of an age gap, too, where we can't even, like, focus on the hand-me-downs. The equipment these days, it's so expensive, but it's so light. Like, I cannot believe how much things have advanced. Like, when we went and got Dapper Jr. his pads, like, I picked one of them up. I'm just like, this is it? Is this, like, a cover for a pad? Because... It's just like, oh, the technology now is just insane.
I can say, as a parent of a 12-year-old and a now a soon-to-be 20-year-old, the chauffeuring never ends.
Oh,
it is just, you're in it. You're in it until they get their license.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what?
Maybe I should get him on the Forza more this weekend or something and get the wheel. Yeah, and just
train him early.
He can get that license. It's like, yep, there you go, buddy.
I guess I'm different. There's no way I want to be my daughter's chauffeur forever. I'll just, whatever. As long as she's calling me and asking me to do things, I'm good. Like, I'm good. As long as that's I'm fair. Still part of her life and she wants to be part of her life, I'm the happiest man.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I don't mind the driving and all of that, but oh my goodness. If he could be driving me, I want to spend time with him, but if he could be the one driving wherever we're going, oh, that would be nice.
Yep.
I'm on the ice with my kiddo. And I know, Pez, you coach soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to start coaching there, Daps?
Be the goalie coach? Yeah, I'm actually going to be going out for a few practices to be a goalie coach. We might get Dapper Jr.'s uncle out there as well too. So I'm going to probably get eventually pulled into coaching, because the way it works now is his house league is twice a week. So he plays house league and then practices once and then plays select a game and then sometimes practices twice. So we've been on the ice for the last 5 days, 6 times.
So as someone that is already in the coaching ranks, have fun doing the courses online. They are brutal. And they are like 1.5 to 2 hours long for each cycle. There's 3 of them. I can send you some links. I understand why they have to be done, but it's like, as someone that plays hockey and play hockey as well, and I'm answering these questions and I'm just like, if someone can't get the answer to this, this is tough stuff.
So, little game coming out on Friday called Spider-Man 2. And Dapper, you have been hands-on with it. So give us non-spoilers, give us your whole thoughts. Give us the kit and caboodle.
The whole kit and caboodle. So yeah, in between, like I said before, chauffeuring and goalie management. I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man 2. Absolutely phenomenal game. Before like I jump in, of course, I'll keep it spoiler free. But it's amazing. It's spectacular. A lot of the review embargoes just came up. You can catch my full review as well on dappertux.com. Sorry for the shameless plug.
Link will be in the description below.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you guys so much. Just from the theme that I kind of start off with my review on dappertux.com and just with Spider-Man 2 is just this doubling effect. When it comes to what Insomniac Games has done with Spider-Man 2, everything is better. You get double the Spider-Man, double the Spider-Men. You get double the map size, double like the combat types. It's just incredible. I can't say enough good things, especially in terms of the combat, even the story. I would say there's a double down on performances, like the performances that are turned in. Like when I originally fired up the game, right from the first 5 minutes, it's incredible. But at first you're like, okay, I'm excited for this, but it is more of, you know, Spider-Man 2018 and Miles Morales. And although that's exciting, I was just like hoping for a little bit more. But then as the story progresses, it just takes you in, you know, whole new, more visceral, more emotional direction, especially with the, you know, the introduction of the symbiote suit. And from there, the performances that come in. And what's really cool is like, in terms of the way that the characters interact with one another, you might be thinking, oh, you know, like some of the state of play performances, a lot of people were reacting to the acting and being like, well, like, why is, you know, Peter Parker so raw at this point? When you have more of the context and you get the full performances and what happens before those big moments, it's just incredible. And that's my dog Penny. Sorry, she's barking off camera here, but I think she's joining me on my sentiment with Spider-Man 2. Another thing I loved about it is the set pieces. Oh my goodness, like if you love those big set pieces, like the things that like the train scene in Uncharted 2, some of the bigger bosses that you faced off with in God of War, you're gonna love this, because the set pieces moment to moment, absolutely incredible. Absolutely. Sorry, I just have to give me 1 second here, because I have a special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Sorry about that. So she does this cute thing where, as I'm speaking on camera, if I don't go pick her up, she'll just bark at me the whole time. So she's gonna chill here and be part of the dynamic duo.
Beautiful.
In terms of the set pieces, moment to moment action, absolutely incredible. Back to that sort of theme of the doubling down as well, too, when it comes to the combat, the wingsuit. Oh my gosh, do I love that wingsuit. You can get around, again, thanks to the power of the PS5, you can get around New York so much faster. The fast travel is incredible. And how it works is if you're in a borough and you start to clear out that area enough, it unlocks the fast travel and you can open up your mini map. And on the mini map, you'll have like that 3D display of New York or that neighborhood you want to drop into. You can pick it almost down to the building and it will literally transition from the menu where you've selected to fast travel to like that Spider-Man like swinging down that street. It's insanely cool. And in terms of the fast traveling and just moving around New York, it is like never been better with the wingsuit. Like the sense of speed is like nothing I've ever felt before in a superhero game, especially. Like, it's not just an incredible superhero game, it's like one of my favorite action games of all time. And I'm a huge Batman fan, and coming out of the Arkham series, if you know me and know how much I love Batman and that series, for me to say that like Spider-Man 2 is the best superhero game of all time,
wow,
it's the tops.
Is another very large Batman fan. Now I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, you're gonna love the combat. You're gonna love the dark places that we get sort of taken with the characters. In terms of sort of like going back and talking a little bit to the narrative and the moment to moment action, there are smaller conversations that will happen, again, spoiler free, between Peter and Mary Jane, where you're just like, this is a conversation that maybe I would have with my spouse or significant other, but during sequences, as things go on, those little smaller issues that come up between various characters, whether it's between, Parker and Morales or MJ and Peter, it comes through later on in the story in just such a big way. And each of the characters, whether it's by the symbiote suit or others, they start to get picked apart by some of these, interpersonal issues. And just the performances that come out of that is just, it's incredible. Like characters yelling at each other and crying. And I just like certain scenes that happen too, I just wasn't expecting the sort of, I'll just say it earns the T for teen rating. And it's cool to see Insomniac go to that place, go to that space, for sure. But yeah, overall, incredible. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you find yourself playing as Miles or Peter more than one or the other?
That's another really cool thing that they've done here is that I was worried. I was like, you know what? At a certain point in the story, I'm going to favor one person over the other. There is a balance that happens with missions and side missions where they are exclusive to various characters. But I found that because I think I vibed a little bit more with Miles Morales, just in terms of, overall his story, just connects to me more in terms of just his character and just being like the new kid on the block. But it was pretty much like 50-50 because there was times when I was playing, I was kind of, trying to be cognizant of, hey, am I splitting time between one character or more of the other? And I really wasn't. Like, it's almost like Insomniac somehow knew there was a way to kind of keep you going in that 50-50 route with the characters. If you wanted to favor one character more, I think you could. But it just in terms of the way things are crafted from the side missions to the main story, I would say, I'd say it was close to 50-50 for both characters. And both sides, like you would think, with Peter in the symbiote suit, you're gonna favor that more. But they've done some really cool things with the Venom powers that Miles Morales has. That also, like again, no spoilers, but it also keeps you wanting to play as him. And this time around, you can slot in and slightly customize some of your powers. So again, like the skill tree is really well balanced, but it does have some cool things that will make you want to go back and forth between both characters. But yeah, once that Spidey suit, the black symbiote suit came into play, I probably favored Peter a little bit more. But then there was some really cool plot twists that gave Miles some more powers, and then I was back, playing with him.
I'm going to flip the script here a bit, and I want to hear about the villains that we know about. So the first game, for those that haven't played, was like Saturday morning cartoon of here are the big names: Doc Ock, Electro, Vulture, Rhino. How everyone knows Venom, right? Venom is like one of the most popular Spider-Man characters, if not the most popular villain out there. But talk to me about Kraven. How did Kraven come across in this game?
Amazing. You're going to really enjoy Kraven. I think the way you framed it, Pez, really well with like, we know that like this is going to be a Venom game. It's been that like triangle of Parker, Morales, and Venom. But Kraven adds just so much to the actual story. He does so much to New York, and he interacts with a lot of the other villains within the city. Again, no spoilers, before you even kind of first meet up with him. And the way that happens, just it balances this fine line of going into the story that we know really well, but taking and respecting that source material, but bringing it in a totally different direction. And it does give like slight nods and things like that to the comics. But in terms of like Kraven the Hunter that incredible performance. In terms of just the way that he challenges Parker, the way that he challenges Morales, awesome. It's just so much fun. And some of his boss fights are, I would call like 2023 the year of some of the best boss fights in video games. And it just gets better with Spider-Man 2, Kraven the Hunter included. From the interactions of him, there are point plot points too where, you know, his character, you start to understand like the method of his madness, like what he's striving towards doing. But overall, Kraven the Hunter, you might also think too with like Kraven and Venom and a few other baddies that are introduced who I won't discuss here, that could be too many chefs in the kitchen, but it's all balanced just so well. And sometimes these storylines, many of the storylines, even with the villains, start intersecting, and it's just done in such a masterful way. It's just like, I am happy that every villain that was introduced into this story is here, and it makes it just better all, and a better all cohesive sort of story.
Don't tell me if what is in it, but is there an end credit scene? Because this is a Marvel.
You need to watch. Do not leave the vicinity once you finish the game. You must watch the minute the game ends to the very last scene. But yes, there are some new things. Do not, keep your television set on.
I saw a meme today of somebody, they put like what happens when they start playing the game, and they showed Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man when he's like stretching out his back, and I was like, oh my god, that's the greatest meme ever, because like, you're just not going to get out of your chair, you're just going to play the game.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, oh man, I would say like some of the things that drop after the game really give a lot of the what's in the MCU a run for its money. They reset the table in such a way that like, give me Spider-Man 3 today.
I would say, I haven't played the game, I'm talking about just what Sony has done just with Spider-Man. I don't like the Marvel, I like Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse, and I love what they've done with Insomniac Spider-Man. I know with Tom Henderson, his Spider-Man, that's a little bit more of Marvel's. That is not as much Sony. I am way more into the Sony-verse of Spider-Man. Way more.
Me too. Like Tom Holland, you know, great, but I'm way more, me too. I'm like, it's like we're brothers.
Yeah.
I am so much more into the Spider-Verse, that side of it, and into Insomniac Games interpretation than I am into, like you said before.
Tom Holland to me is just meh.
Right? I just find, you know, a lot of people are going to flame me for this, but I just like Dapper Jr., my son really loves like the Holland interpretation of Spider-Man, but the quality of what we're getting with the Spider-Man in video games, as well as like Into the Spider-Verse, it's just so much deeper. Like it's so good.
Yuri's portrayal of Spider-Man in Miles Morales and in Spider-Man Remastered, unbelievable.
Oh, just wait for Spider-Man 2. This is best performance. Like I said before, this duality, this doubling effect I was talking about. So if you like the performance that Yuri Lowenthal put forth for Spider-Man the last two, just wait for Spider-Man 2, like his performance here. It's a whole other level, whole other emotional raw level, where at some points when you're in a boss fight and the internal monologue that's coming from him about like issues like self-doubt, you just start to cringe a little bit. You're just like, man, this is too real. Like even for me, sometimes maybe we feel that imposter syndrome, and the bosses and the internal monologue comes at you in that way. And the way that the characters respond to it is just so raw. Like it's still friendly Spider-Man, but it's just way more like screamy and no, we don't have to do this. This is not the way. And then, it's just the symbiote suit adds this new visceral side to the story, which it's needed for a long time. Not to say
emo,
the other
emo
bad.
Spider-Man. Emo was invented by Spider-Man. No, exactly. Everybody just doesn't even realize it, right? You know?
Right.
McFarlane made it, and then all of a sudden everybody was like, oh, emo's a thing in like the early 2000s, and McFarlane was probably sitting there going, do you not understand the symbiote suit Spawn? Like, I made emo what it is.
Oh, and like talking about some of those horror influences, like even like The Last of Us, for example, like there's some interior spaces that you get into that it's pretty, it's dark, scary, and kind of freaky, and it really reminded me like some of those scenes of like certain areas with clickers in The Last of Us. Like it felt like that. So as you're, you know, dealing with Venom, that's all I'll say. I won't say anything more about that because I don't want to give away like how it gets there, but man, there's some very cool scenes that I was just like, this is like Spider-Man 2, The Last of Us, towards the end of the game.
One of the things I didn't like about Spider-Man 2018 was the Mary Jane missions. How are they? Are they improved? Are there a lot of them? Talk to me about it, because we know they're there.
So I had that like under my breath, oh great, as the next one was starting up, because I felt the same thing with the first Spider-Man. When you're forced into doing the puzzles, you're forced into doing the stealth missions, you're like, okay, here we go again with this. I have to say, I never felt that once with Spider-Man 2. So one of the coolest things, and this is a big pro tip, number one with the puzzles, you can pause the game and skip a puzzle if you wish to. So that's a huge accessibility piece. That's a huge way to cut out. If you just want to get back to the city and swing around as Spider-Man or see what's going to happen next in the story, you can do that. And I discovered that totally by accident. I
hit pause. Does it affect the trophies?
Does not affect the trophies. Does not. So you can skip the puzzles. In terms of the MJ scenes, love them. They have added to her tool set. That's, I don't want to spoil it. They've added to her sort of skill set with the stealth. She's no longer a damsel in distress. And what I will say without spoiling anything is that she can take care of business on her own. Like, she's not just, you know, sneaking around and hoping that Peter or Miles saves the day for her. She gets it. She can get it done this time and really adds so much to the story. Her missions are a lot fewer and far between from what I previously recall, but they're so much better. And you're not going to begrudge going through them at all. They're really improved. But I'm happy that you brought that up. Awesome one. I don't want to forget like mentioning that. But awesome way to lead off that with that question, Pez. That's a great one. And yeah, something that stuck out for me that I was hoping they would improve on. And Insomniac Games totally listened to that feedback. The MJ missions and some of the stealth missions are back, but they're genuinely fun and not frustrating, where you're just like, oh, I'm caught. There's more ways out. There's more ways to interact within those missions. And like, again, I would say they are 2 times better than they were, if I had to quantify it, than they were in the past.
Awesome. Yeah, those missions were, whew, you get through one and you're like, oh, now I got to go through Tombstone's. Biker gang. Oh my God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to push the thing over anymore. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even with, with the Dragon's Breath, the final mission, like getting caught and then trying to lead around, I don't want to spoil the first game, but I guess at this point we can talk about that. But yeah, like having to sort of plug through those sequences and just get frustrated because, oh, someone caught a glance of me. And then I'm going into that, like, oh no, don't capture me animation. It's not like that this time. Way more fun, way tighter of an experience, and there are tools now to get MJ out of the jam without any Spider-Man intervention.
So Paz, you're just gonna skip him, aren't you?
No. I'll play him. Listen, if I played him on PS4 and PC and PS5, I'll play him again.
It'll be fine. I'm debating. I like, but time is a very valuable thing as a parent. And I'm just like,
right. Like that.
It might depend. If I get to say it's like, it's like 10 o'clock and it's almost, the wife is calling saying it's time to go to bed. And you're like, oh, it's an MJ mission. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to skip this. I'm just going to get to some fighting so I can like get some action in there.
The MJ missions, sorry, are not skippable, but the puzzles.
Oh, the puzzles are skippable.
Like
yes.
Science, like the biology puzzles.
Yeah.
Those are skippable. MJ missions are not. Yeah, sorry. I'm happy you clarified that. But some of the puzzles are well done. But if you're not a puzzle guy, like here and there, I'll dabble and I like to see what they did with it. But I would give each puzzle like 5 minutes and I was able to knock down most of them. But towards the end, they get tough. And like you said, time is a very valuable thing these days, especially within a review cycle. I was just like, okay, let me just skip on past this. Like I would rather spend 25 minutes exploring the city than 25 minutes going back and just redoing this puzzle over and over again. But again, it's one of those like to each their own things where it's like, you know what? I'm going to solve this. I'm going to go through it pure. In terms of the trophies, as far as I know, that doesn't affect them.
Did you get the platinum yet?
No, not yet. So I'm so close, but like you said before, between the dad duties call and once embargo lifts, Dapper Jr. can get in there and do some heavy lifting.
I saw all those reviewers like bragging they got a platinum. I'm like, you don't have a kid, you don't have responsibilities. That's cool.
Credit to Greg Miller, he's got a kid, he got it done. But yeah, I'm gonna go back and do it. Like I'm super close there.
Yeah, but that's his job. You also have a job, Dapper.
Multiple. Yeah. But you know what? This brings up another really interesting point about how to approach the game. And for me at first, I was really golden pathing it, going through all the main missions as quickly as possible. And then I started doing some of the side missions. Oh my goodness, they're so good. I would recommend you do a story mission, and when that unlocks the side content, go for the side content and then move forward. Like, the side content is that good. Like, don't sleep on it. Don't wait till the end of the game to start going back and knocking things out. The side missions will add greater context to the mainline story. So stay at them. Like, just trust me. And there's so many cool twists and turns that come out of them. Add further context to the main storyline. Again, don't sleep on them. Go for it. make sure to treat the side missions like the main missions, and, you know, try to knock them all out at the same time.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the side missions, because I wanted to talk about some of the extra content, I'll say, like the, you know, in the first one, like the Taskmaster stuff and the Harry stuff. Is that still present? Is there as much of it as the 2018 game? And what was your thoughts on that stuff?
It's still present, far less onerous, and way more variety. And also, like, you're not expected to collect. I won't talk about specifically what you are collecting, but you're not asked to collect 100% of those things, maybe like 10 to 15 of those experiences, which is awesome. And the backstory and the unexpected twists and turns that come from some of that collecting is so much more rewarding. And speaking of the Spidey suits, like, a lot of this collecting, if you're a fan of the suits, you're going to absolutely love continuing the collection just to build up that dapper closet of Spidey suits. And what's really cool is that, as I'm sure everyone's seen at this point, is that you can unlock the four different alternatives per a main single suit. One thing I found that not a lot of people are mentioning is that not every single suit has that. There are some, I'll just call them for now without spoiling what the suits are, but there are some suits that are licensed from various potential films, maybe, where you can't unlock some of those additional, like, four colorways, but the ones that you can, it just adds so much to it. And the suits that I have unlocked, there's some wild stuff out there.
Did you really already find cool. a favorite that you're using pretty much only for each character?
Yes. If I tell you what it is, it'll spoil it. But okay. Oh yeah, there's some really, really dapper suits in there that I love. And there's a scene where you'll probably get to that scene that happens with Peter Parker and a tux, and you're just gonna be like, you know, plug in the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing meme, and you're gonna be like, oh, Dapper must have freaked out when he saw that. I did. I'm not gonna tell you what it is for the sake of, like, spoiler, you know, alerts, but I was just like, that. I had the full point going. I'm telling you. Yeah. We should do a spoiler cast after this. I'd be down for that, because
I'm in.
Sweet. Oh, awesome.
Well, more time with the first one, but yes.
Sorry?
Wabba's still got to play the first one, but yes.
I've given up on Wabba. Him. I've given up on him, truly.
Seriously.
All right, Court, any other questions about Spider-Man?
No. No, awesome. That was a phenomenal recap review, but not spoiling anything. It was truly great. Appreciate it. It was very good.
It was awesome. Great. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to touch upon.
Oh, one question. Does any parts feel bloated?
I had so much fun with the whole experience. There were parts that felt bloated, especially with the first Spider-Man, where I was like, do I seriously have to go back and do this again? I didn't have a single instance of that once with this game, which is, like, insane to say, because usually I can point to one thing and be like, oh yeah, seriously, I have to do that. Because every side mission or every collectible, it will sometimes just turn into some sort of grander story or chase or connection to something deeper, and you just want to kind of follow down that rabbit hole. I did not find collectibles bloated. I've been really enjoying zipping around the city. Like, the historical or the photo points are back, and I really enjoyed those and hearing a little bit more about New York. No, and even the trophies themselves are pretty well balanced, so they're a fun pursuit so far for the ones that I'm knocking off, like, slowly but surely. But I would say, is there anything bloated? No. even just the moment to moment swinging around the city is just so much fun. And the wingsuit, oh my goodness, it's they could, I think Insomniac has the acumen now to make a Superman game. With the speed in which you move through New York with that suit, it's like, it's so quick, it's so well done. But at the same time, I was worried with the wingsuit. I was like, oh man, with the wingsuit, is it going to like turn me off of like Spider-Man in terms of that core like swinging? You still have to use the webbing and the swinging to like build momentum. And then you can hit the wingsuit and then sometimes, you know, pick up some wind tunnels to get around. But overall, it still makes the quintessential like swinging Spider-Man webbing around an important component of that. And then when you're like really blazing through, you can hit that wingsuit, whether you're in a pursuit or something like that. And then you're just, you are flying and it's so much fun.
Awesome. Well, there it is. You heard it out of Dapper's mouth himself. October 20th, if you're listening to the show on release day on Thursday, the 19th, or watching us live on YouTube tonight on the 18th, October 20th, you can experience Peter Parker picking up the Call of Duty. As gentlemen, the three of us have played Call of Duty 3 beta impressions.
Oh, God.
What do you think? Court, we'll kick us off.
I just got to be like, can we, or I think it's Wabba just fired. So like a thing that we have on this show, Dapper, is Wabba is the worst at transitions ever. And it's become a point of like hilarity because like he'll do a transition and me and Pez will just be like, here's one you could have used or here's one you could have used. And Pez, bravo, bravo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I actually have been playing a ton. I know, Dapper, you said you dabbled, and I know, Pez, you've dabbled as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first Call of Duty that I have jumped into the multiplayer since 2018, 2019. Like, I was getting, anytime I hopped into a lobby, I would just get bodied, and I'm just like, ah, this is no fun. I was just getting destroyed out there. But for some reason, and it turned me off, and I just went to campaigns. And in fact, I didn't even get Vanguard. I got Cold War because it came with PlayStation Plus. And, you know, last year I won a copy of Modern Warfare 2. Thank you, Dapper. I wasn't really playing a lot of Call of Duty. And I jumped into this. And the very first map I was into was Rust. And oh my God, I loved how it was close quarters. I loved how it was so small. It made me feel like an old Call of Duty map, like in the World War or like Black Ops. And I was destroying people. I was like, all these people that want to camp and have all their, nope, you can't go anywhere. This crazy person is just going to shoot you everywhere you go. And I was using my DualSense Edge. And I have to say, that thing is a lifesaver because you can change the sensitivity on the triggers. So it's pretty much like my old fingers had no issues with reflexes because I was just touching that trigger, a little tap, boom. And you can actually change the sensitivity also on the sticks, and you can actually go in and there's like a whole bunch. I went down a whole rabbit hole of YouTube and they were showing me settings. And for the very first time on this, I have saved a setting to one of the controller for the very first time.
Presets. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a preset saved right here and it's my Call of Duty preset. As soon as I do it, my sticks are different. So it's giving me better aim. Like I went on this webpage with this guy and as soon as I did it, my kill death ratio started being plus.
After he went on I that did web, all
changes.
He went on that website and gave his credit card number and SIN, and now he's like,
yeah,
that's
no.
Yeah.
I even put up my, I was getting, you know, 16 kills and only dying 14 times. But for me, that was amazing. The best I think I did, I got 21 kills and 9 deaths. And I was like, still the bottom of my team, because people, when they play this game, are unbelievable. They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't bad and I was having a heart. I was loving it. My heart was pounding. I was getting all sweaty. I was just like, wow. Like I was playing this, muting the lobby for sure, because it has still just a trash fire of a bunch of people saying terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
But it's Call of Duty. Or you know what, to this other, hey guys, if you're playing Call of Duty, no one cares to hear your music on the background on the PlayStation.
Or fan.
Your controller, fan, there's a little button here. Just press the button and mute. I don't want to hear you. I have to mute everybody. It's much, but I will say this. I am 100% in on Call of Duty when it launches this year. Like, I'm in.
Nice.
I can't wait to go back. Together. And I don't care. Just to have fun.
Just and we could be awful together. Like, yes. I think I can hold my own in multiplayer here and there, but you're right. And I'm so happy from the experience with the beta, with the kill cam. I know the kill cam has been Call of Duty since forever, but I love having that because all the griefing that I do, I'm like, how did I get killed? This is ridiculous. Then I see it and I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, I suck. So yeah, it's there was one map. I don't think it was called Tanker, but there was like a ton of like cargo like bins, and I just kept getting owned there because I don't think I knew many of like the sight lines and many of like the sort of spots to, I don't want to call it camp, so I'll just say perch, but there was some really creative kills
camp happening. All day long, man. All day long.
Oh, the all tent's going up.
Yeah.
I know, right? I especially as like dad gamers, like people are like, well, you shouldn't camp. You know what? Unless they're like saying that I got to move or it's going to boot me from the game within 10 seconds and I'm getting killed in one spot, I will set up camp all day.
It's we like have... golf. We pay to be there. We don't get paid to be there. So you know what?
Yep,
I'm paying exactly. to play this. So on Rust, go up to the very top of the refinery. There's like a little section where you can go in that you can barely get seen and you can go there and just pop in, boom, shoot, pop in. Pop... Oh man, it was, I got like 10. Killed. I had an 8 kill streak. Me. 8. I was losing my mind. It was great. No one could come. No one could touch me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. You got me excited for that. And yeah, we'll squad up too, which sounds fun.
I will say, as a for those that don't know, back in my youth, I was a Modern Warfare 2 sweat in the worst way. Every Friday night, me and my group of five, 6 total, we're going in deep. We're playing hardcore team deathmatch or like kill confirmed, using language you should not use in front of your children. And we are ripping lobbies to like 30, you know, going like 30-3 and 20-2 and like goading each other into only using like C4 kills to try to win matches.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
it man. Was, it was bad. Like, I am not that level anymore because I have old man hands and I have 4 eyes now, so I can't.
Dude, you have a DualSense though.
See is good. So I made a preset on my DualSense Edge because I also have one for NHL. Well, NHL 23 when I was playing it on my PS5. That DualSense Edge, man, I was not happy spending $200 on a controller, and now I'm glad I did. Because the customization options that Sony gives you is actually very, very good. And using being able to turn up the sensitivity on my sticks and turn down the sensitivity, or I guess make the triggers a little more like hair triggers that you're not pushing down so hard, is game changing. So it almost made me feel like I was good again. which like brought that nostalgia back. And I do like Call of Duty multiplayer. I, for one, think Call of Duty's like the best military first person shooter out on the market. It's better than anything else you can find. The gunplay is still extraordinary, whether it's Modern Warfare 3 or Warzone. Like, the gunplay itself is still very good. You still get that sense of camaraderie when you're playing with your friends. And despite being a like rage fest at times, when you win, you still can celebrate with the people that you're playing with and feel like you did something together. And that's still important. And I still got that feeling in Modern Warfare 3. And I'm glad that Call of Duty is making a real concerted effort to bring these games back, because these were the best of their series, I think. I think their Modern Warfare games are probably some of the best ones that they have churned out in a long, long time. I was not a fan of like in Advanced War, and Black Ops was fine, but like it really wasn't for me. But Modern Warfare is in my little nostalgia jam that I like, and I thought the beta was great and it was fun, and I am looking forward to playing it multiplayer, you know, whatever they do with Warzone, because I love Warzone. I still play it to this day.
Skeletor, they got a new Skeletor skin. I've never played Warzone. Never played it.
You know what skin I have in Warzone? Shredder. They put out a Shredder skin like a year ago.
Spawn now too. I'm a huge Spawn fan, so yeah. But
and it's,
I don't know. Court, I don't think these skins are not. Are they carrying forward this time?
Because I'm not sure. They might.
Last time they didn't. I hope they do that, because yeah, I might pick up that Spawn skin, and
but,
yeah,
because that's
pretty sweet.
It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first movie version of Shredder. It is the OG Shredder, and it's the only skin I've ever bought in that game. It dropped, and I was like, sure. I logged in, I bought it. I didn't play for like a month, and I was like, it doesn't matter. And then, you know, whenever I play now, I'm Shredder running around.
Oh, I think I might, like, I saw the Skeletor one. I'm just like, I saw that the trailer for it, like Skeletor as an operator. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds like something I would do with, but I hope he has the cackle as he's going. But I wanted to also mention something that I found interesting, because every time I went on my deep rabbit hole, everybody turned this off. It was the vibration on the controller for the triggers. I was loving it. Like, I'm actually excited to hop into the campaign. Like, I was playing Cold War today and trying to finish it, and they had it. So like, each gun has its own feel as you pull the triggers on a DualSense. Now, as much as I love my Xbox, for me, that's a game changer on the PlayStation to using the PlayStation over the Xbox just for this game, just for that sort of feel. Because as I'm shooting, I'm just like, oh my God, like if I'm using the silencer handgun, it's just like, it's like a tiny little, like you barely can tap it. Exactly. But if you're using like a machine gun or any heavy AR, like you can actually feel it as you're pulling that trigger. Or if you're using the shotgun, it actually is harder to pull, or the Magnum. So I was actually very curious to use all these weapons, because like when I was playing the multiplayer, I'm like, I'm not turning that off. Like, I understand why the experts want to turn it off, because it can become cumbersome. Stuff. But for me, it was just like, it's part of the immersion.
Totally. Like, I find that the DualSense, even outside of Call of Duty, turns into, if I'm going to request the code for a game for review, is there something different happening with the DualSense? And then usually that becomes the lead platform for my review, because the DualSense is just, oh, it's incredible. It just adds so much to the immersion. And yeah, it's very cool you brought that up, because yeah, you're right. Even with Black Ops, I remember just like playing it elsewhere. I'm like, oh, you know, what's like the major difference between like platforms? And the DualSense, like almost every single time, gives like that extra edge. Cause like, I know graphics wise, it's almost getting to the point where it's negligible. It's still going to probably look a little bit better on the Series X because of like the extra horsepower, but man, the DualSense and yeah, the adaptive triggers and just that insane feedback. It's like, okay, I'm going in that direction. Cause yeah, it just adds so much more to the gameplay and so much more to the immersion.
Lastly, I want to touch on October's PS Plus games. What are we talking? What are we calling them now? PlayStation Plus games have dropped. So if you have PlayStation Plus right now, you can play Gotham Knights, Disco Elysium, House of Ashes, one of my top three scariest games for October, Alien Isolation.
I love that game.
Alien Isolation is the best Alien game I think they've ever put out, and probably the best Alien piece of media they put out since Aliens came out in like 91 or whatever.
So I haven't played that game, and I've seen Sean Capri play it on stream. That looks scary as F.
It is. It's terrifying.
I swore there. Like, it's scary.
Satisfying. Oh, it's so good, though.
Disco Elysium, supposedly I will like this game.
Incredible. I played it. I loved it.
Because, like, I usually do like some story games that are only story, because I understand it's just, like, literally like a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Telltale games, but then some of them I don't. But I'm being told Disco Elysium, that's going to be great. And I'll say this for the Gotham Knights people, as a resident Batman person, and I know you are as well, Dapper, play it. That's, you know, it is what it is. You just play it to get it over with, almost, if you're a DC fan, to be totally honest, to get the story out and just be like, okay, so I played it. I got their story. Then you can DM me and you can be just as frustrated as I am about everything that has to do with that game. The gameplay is okay. The world is dead. It's empty, but the gameplay itself isn't bad. The world's empty. The gameplay is decent. And the story is
where Rocksteady had the series, but you know.
Yeah, the story is
See, I thought the story. I thought it was fine.
The Court of Owls stuff was great, yet it ended too quickly and they didn't expand on it, and they actually didn't use the real backstory of it. So it was a little weird. But you know, it was fine.
It was fine.
It wasn't good.
It's not for me.
It wasn't good at all.
It was. See, I thought the story. Someone, I had a friend that was like, it's coming out on, it's also out on Game Pass. It's coming out on Game Pass. Should I play it? I said, story's fine. The world is empty and the mechanics feel a little slow. But if you want to like play as Nightwing, have a blast.
Yeah, the ride, the vehicles for some reason feel like they're in slow motion as you drive them.
Yeah,
and I feel like we're giving a very bad review of this, but I, it's
we're only destroying this
perfect game. It is the perfect game for PlayStation Plus, and I am so sorry to our friend over at DC that gave us this game originally. But the game is I am a firm believer that I love the Batman Arkham series, and Rocksteady did a phenomenal job. And from what I see of Suicide Squad, I do not have high hopes, but just go back to Batman. Like I'll never understand when you see us gamers complain about them. Like, oh, they're just making the same game over and over again. Yeah, good. Okay.
If someone tells
Insomniac to stop making Spider-Man, fire that person.
True.
Wolverine's just next. Also, too, the Arkham series is coming to the Nintendo Switch this month. I think it's like the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that. But yeah, they're bringing, I don't know if it's going to be cloud-based, but
Arkham I think two are on the cartridge and one is going to be cloud based.
Cool.
And I would say if anybody hasn't played those games, stop what you're doing and go play those games. If every single combat that you play in a video game right now, if there is a block and then a counter, it's because of Batman Arkham Asylum, because it perfected combat. Like it's, and that's what I always find interesting when we were playing Gotham Knights. It was just like, you already had a base. Why change it? You already have, like, they already perfected the combat. Don't change the combat. The combat is already made. Anytime a game does a counter combat and it's not the same as Arkham, I'm like, no. It's okay to copy. Just copy it. It's okay. They did something that works. Like Insomniac, they were like, hey, they did something that works. So we're just going to use the same combat because guess what? It's the same. And it's amazing.
Wait till you see some of like the counters in Spider-Man 2.
Exactly.
Arkham sprinted so Spider-Man could wingsuit. Let's put it
which
that
is
way.
Perfect. But see, that's what you do. You adapt You adapt from something. You don't try and make it anew. They're like Insomniac's like, hey, we'll just take what they've already done and we'll just make it our own.
And I didn't want to say that Arkham walked, because that series never walked. That it ran, like it was amazing, especially in the side of the combat. But yeah, and you're right. They took the lessons even with Spider-Man 2. Not to go too deep into the combat, but yeah, it's like unbelievable. And in terms of just like, you know, now going full circle back to Spider-Man 2, a lot of the comboing and counters, like, you know how you kind of felt a little bit more button mashy and out of control with some of the earlier Spider-Mans, especially like 2018. This one is just like, no, it's way more control, way more countering. And it just feels like in terms of like the insane action that you're pulling off, it connects back. Like it really further perfects that counter system that Court's talking about. So yeah, it's a really good time for superhero games, the month of October.
Yeah. And you know, talking about both the Arkham and Spider-Man combat system, there is something just so gratifying when you pull off that like 20, 30, 40 hit counter, like that 40 hit combo of just like countering and jumping over and webbing guys in the face, or you're throwing batarangs or smoke bombs or whatever. But if you haven't played any of the Arkham games, Asylum and City are fantastic. I was not a huge fan of Arkham Knight, but I know a lot of people love it. So go play them. And if you have time, you know, jump into Origins, but lower that bar just a tad. Gentlemen, before we leave this lovely evening, anything you'd like to tell the good people out there? Any final thoughts?
No, I will say this. We will be doing, the reason we didn't do Super Mario Brothers Wonder is because I've played it at Best Buy and Pez and Dapper haven't played it, but I believe Pez, you're going to be getting it, and we're definitely going to be doing a conversation on this game. But I'm definitely going to be talking Spider-Man, because that's all I'm going to be playing as soon as I can get it. but I'm also still playing NHL, And I'm still trying to finish Cyberpunk. Like, I haven't got to the Phantom Liberty part. I've started all over again. So I'm playing Cyberpunk right now. It's just taking some time because I think I have to supposedly play like 20 hours of Cyberpunk to get even to the Phantom Liberty part.
Yeah.
Oh, so
and that's 30 hours.
You didn't originally play through Cyberpunk? Because you can just jump, like, I'm playing Phantom Liberty right now. You could just jump straight in.
I never finished it. So it was, I played it on PS5 and it was broken. And I never went back.
No, because what you can do is you can just, like, say, skip Cyberpunk, but I don't like the original storyline, and it will spec your character up to Phantom Liberty, and you can just hop straight in.
Which okay, is I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
So, yeah, you can do that, and but, oh, man, Cyberpunk.
Pez is like, don't do that. Look at him.
Or it was
like,
gaslit by CD Projekt Red. They said play the whole game again.
Yeah, because they actually said, because like, I heard they're telling you to play the whole game again.
With the 2.0 update, if you've got the time, you probably should. Like, I went through the original game. We don't. So, yeah, I'm still in the review process with Phantom Liberty. But, yeah, they what a comeback story. Like, it's too bad that it went down the way that it did in 2020. But, oh, my God, this is like, if DLC could be considered for Game of the Year, it would be right up there for, like, with a lot of my picks. I don't think it would, you know, prevail, but man, like the performances, just how they went back and like fixed everything made. Yeah. I won't spoil anything for you. Reviews are out there. What I've played so far, I'm going to review it eventually on dappertux.com once I work through a mountainous backlog, but
dude, seriously, there's a lot to do right now.
This is in my opinion, this is the best year in history for games. 2023 is it.
That's what we're going with.
I'm going with 2023. This is the best year for top-notch video games. Like, we're getting a 2D Mario. We just got we got Zelda. We got another Spider-Man. Like, what else has to drop? Like, it's just, and then Phantom, and then even an RPG that kind of stumbled out of the gate in 2020 with Phantom Liberty is also, or with Phantom Liberty now making a comeback within the Cyberpunk 2077 universe. It's just like redemption stories, incredible stuff. Remakes hitting, like, man, yeah, I think this is it for me. I've been gaming since 84, controller in my hand when I was like one. But I would say
you're so young.
I would say, yeah, this is it right now until next year.
Can I be born in 1984? I'll take being born in 1980. Oh my God, Dapper, what are we doing for your birthday? I just realized when we do the math, what are you doing for your birthday, buddy? It's a big one.
My birthday?
Yeah. It's a big one coming.
My 40th was on July 20th. So I was
you already had it. Oh, yeah, you were away. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot. I tried to do something with you, and you were away. Yes, that is on you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that, though. But, yeah, we're going to get together soon for some drinks and some fun.
One of these days.
I am very excited for Super Mario Brothers Wonder, the first game to make me put down Baldur's Gate 3.
I will say this, as someone that's played about 25 minutes of that game, Super Mario Wonder, that's all I could play because the Best Buy demo.
I thought you were talking about Baldur's Gate 3. I'm like, 25 minutes?
I'm not playing the
bear. It's not even, you're not even out of the ship in 25 minutes.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder is unbelievable.
I can't wait. It's like staring at me on my Switch, just like, hey, you can't play me yet, but I'm here. So I'm just waiting. And I'm very excited for it because any longtime listeners of the show know that I think, and we'll talk about this more in all my reviews and stuff, that 2D Marios have kind of stunk lately. So the fact that it's not very formulaic, or it doesn't seem it, of just like, hey, go left to right, and it's just not like, oh, now it's the grassland, now it's the ice land, now it's the fire land. It looks like someone was just like, how can we make this better and make it just crazy? So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Be careful out there. There's leaks. I'm not too sure what people are leaking about Mario Wonder.
Besides levels, people have been playing it on TikTok, like live. So like I've been scrolling and it'll say like, oh, retro consoles, and like I'm scrolling and it's like, I'm like, oh, this is Super Mario Wonder. Whoop, goodbye. So yeah,
there's apparently whole movies out there. Like you can like, I haven't figured it out yet, and I would probably just go buy the movie, to be honest. But you can, there's sequential TikToks and other things happening that play out a whole film apparently. And I don't even know how that works. I'm just going to probably subscribe to something and find that film and watch it that way. But the ingenuity's there, but wow. Mm-hmm. But I really don't want any of my games spoiled that way. But yeah, don't spoil games. No. It really sucks. No. Whether it's Mario Wonder, Spider-Man 2.
But do it to Wabba.
Like, yeah, seriously. Wabba deserved it. Spoil yeah, right. it. Jump in Wabba's DMs at Wabba Plays on Twitter. Dapper, when you're not hanging out with us, where can the good people find you?
Oh, I'm all over the place. So you can find me first and foremost, dappertux.com, as well as dapper underscore tux, Instagram, X, TikTok, Threads. There's a lot of social media mayhem happening out there now, thanks to Elon Musk. Like, I'm all over the place as well too. I also write for Best Buy blog, so you can catch some of my my content there as well too.
Awesome. And if you want to come hang out with the dads, youtube.com/threedadsonaconsole. We have a new website, threedadsconsole.com. Come check it out.
And even a Facebook. I know this sounds weird, but we're old. We even have a Facebook.
I haven't done that yet for Dapper Tux, but yeah, good on you guys. And I saw your site. Congratulations on it. Looks great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very, very, very cool.
Come check us out, guys. On TikTok, Instagram, all the fun stuff. And until next time, enjoy Super Mario Wonder / Spider-Man 2. Goodbye.